Well, good morning, Grace Point. It is such a pleasure and an honor to be with you this morning. I will say, when Pastor Taylor asked me to preach today, the Sunday after Christmas, I was like, yes, please. I love preaching, and I think it's such a joy and an honor when I can speak to the church. So as you said, I'm Sarah Rockde. I am a student at Asbury, and I will be pursuing ordination in the church, and because you guys are my heart. And I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for those watching online. I hope that this comes through well. So will you join me in prayer? Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our text for today comes from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. So if you have your Bibles or if you have them online, as Pastor Taylor says, crack those open, search in Google. And read along as we go. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian community out of a kind of paternal or fatherly and pastoral frustration. A lot of stuff was happening in the Galatian community. And like so many of his letters, we see Paul bringing churches back to the heart of the gospel of Christ. The Galatian church had begun to listen to some false teachers who said that they, as Gentiles, needed to follow Jewish law in order to be followers of Christ. And you see that mostly in the first three chapters of Galatians. So before our text for today, Paul had written about our justifying faith, that we do not have to earn our place as God's children, but that Jesus Christ had come down for us to reconcile us to the Father. So the purpose of the law, Paul writes, was to safeguard the promise of God until the offspring would come to whom the promise had been made. So the law before now had acted as a mediator. It was like a hedge of protection. It was keeping everything protected until the promise could be fulfilled. But, like I said, the law doesn't earn us salvation in the promise. Even now, we don't follow rules just to follow rules for the sake of them, but for a purpose, is as a response to something. So instead of thinking that we earn our salvation, it's only in union with Christ that we receive this adoption as children of God. So these four verses that we're going to read today are at the end of Paul's whole doctrinal argument to the Galatians regarding the purpose of the law and salvation in Christ. In fact, these four verses that we will read are the very climax of this argument. It's the high point before the rest of the letter goes into the details of instruction for how to live in the freedom that Christ has offered. So I will be reading out of the NRSV translation. So if your translation's a little different, don't worry. So starting at chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, the whole purpose today is that God sent Jesus Christ, his son, in his right timing so that we could become sons and daughters of God, heirs to the promise that God has given the world. And that's where we pick up our text today. And so we're going to go through and just follow Paul's logic today, just point by point. Sometimes that's the best way to go. So in verse 4, we see that in the fullness of time, at this right time. So coming out of Christmas Eve, I think this is so perfect because we have celebrated the birth of our Savior coming into history, coming into our world. And so this is so especially poignant that God the Father, knowing the right time and place, chose Mary to be the mother of his son. Christ was born of a particular woman in a particular place and time under Jewish law. God's own self-revelation in Christ lived under the same law that God had given Israel. The renowned scholar N.T. Wright writes that this self-revelation is so incredibly personal and intimate, being so similar to the Exodus narrative when God's personal name, Yahweh, was revealed to the Israelites. So the law, which was a good and holy thing that God gave to his people, is now fulfilled and revealed in Jesus Christ. God come down to earth to be with us. Paul emphasizes the full humanity along with the full divinity of Christ. Jesus is the natural Son of God, the promise that was foretold ages past. So Christ doesn't supplant or replace the law, but he came to fulfill that law. He lived under the law, yet Christ did not earn salvation. He is salvation. And bringing us salvation, Christ came so that we could have faith. Christ came to redeem and free those in bondage. Now we, as the Galatians, are Gentiles. We're not Jews, so we haven't lived under the law. So, like the Galatians, what are we supposed to be freed from? Firstly, in verse 3, just a little before our passage today, Paul writes of the elemental spirits of the world. So the Gentiles had their own rules of society, their own gods, their own idols that they were in bondage to. And so we today might have our own gods, our own idols, our own sins that we are bound in. And so this is what we need freedom from. Christ came first to those under the law, but now through faith, we also can come to belief. Secondly, if Christ came to free, redeem, and fulfill, then why, Paul asks, why would the Galatians want to be put back under something which from which they have been freed? Why would we want to go back to something that's already been fulfilled? In another sense, why would we want to find our hope and identity in something or someone other than our Savior? Instead, Christ came so that everyone, including the Gentiles in the Galatian community, could receive adoption as children of God. Through Christ, the firstborn Son of God, we as adopted children of God can receive the full benefits and rights as heirs. If Christ is the natural Son of God, in whose God's own timing fulfilled the law that safeguarded and put into trust this promise, then we are the spiritual children. That's our identity. That's who we are as believers. We are children of God. And that is where our hope is in. And Paul illustrates this point beautifully for the Galatians in just the three verses before. Paul writes, "My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property. But they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the father. And so with us. While we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world." And so the Jews had the context for the promise in the Mosaic law. That's how they could understand the promise and how this promise of God's kingdom was to be kept until the right time. The Jews already worshiped God, but the Gentiles worship pagan idols. And so Paul had to contextualize this a little bit differently for them. Paul knew his audience. And I think it helps us too, by using these family dynamics to understand what our place is, what our identity is, and where our hope lies. While family language can only stretch so far, how wonderful it is to convey the intimacy and the immediacy of the relationship we hold with God the Father. So a child can often have a trust, an inheritance, no matter how big or how small, that the parents will keep until an appropriate time or until a certain age where the child can then have full access. Only at that time does the child receive the full benefits of their inheritance. Until then, even though that inheritance is fully theirs, they can't experience the full benefits of it just yet. And there's a sense of security. There's a sense of future hope that they have in knowing that that inheritance is there waiting for us. With Christ come, though, we can now fully understand our place as spiritual heirs to God's kingdom. I hope you can catch the gravity of this, the immense wonder that there is in knowing that we who believe in Christ have a place in the kingdom as God's children. There is a time for the fulfillment of the promise, and Christ is that fulfillment. And because Christ came, everyone can be adopted into the family, accepting their place as heirs with their Christian brothers and sisters. We might have had parallel and different journeys to get here, but that's the goal. That is the same goal that we have together. So as the human father might choose the time to give the inheritance to his son and daughter, God the Father chose the exact right time for the coming of his son, Jesus. And it's interesting because we stand in this gap, as Pastor Taylor has preached on the past few weeks, of standing in the gap of we have already seen Christ come in his birth, and now we are waiting for this second coming of Christ. And it's this wonderful, amazing mystery that we have about this inheritance in the kingdom, that we can dwell in this and that we can live in this. And because we're children of God, those beloved heirs, God sent the Holy Spirit of the Son to dwell in us, to work in us, and to work through us. No son or daughter of God is without the Spirit. And the Spirit continues to work in us, to sanctify us, and work in our hearts to respond to God in love, in adoration, in praise and worship with our very lives to God in everything that we do. The Spirit causes us to cry, "Abba, Father." And what's so compelling about that is that Abba is such an intimate word. It reveals a closeness of the relationship that we have. Abba can be very similar to the English dad or even daddy. It experiences a closeness that we have. It's our response of running to our Father head on as his sons and daughters. The Spirit moves in us to allow us to recognize our status. Because we receive the Spirit of the Son, our hearts know and recognize God and that we will inherit the kingdom and the promise that was long foretold. N.T. Wright also wrote that Paul's writing made him think of those classic novels where there happens to be a special inheritance that saves a protagonist from whatever poor life circumstances they might find themselves in. And of course, this made me think of my favorite novel, Jane Eyre. Jane Eyre was written by Charlotte Bronte, and it is about Jane, who is a young governess who is poor, and she's treated unfairly pretty much all of her life. She is constantly underestimated, overlooked, mistreated, and in the society of her time, her circumstances were bleak, and her prospects of good standing, of marriage, and the hope of comfort were practically nothing. However, later in the book, after some interesting, mysterious happenings that I won't completely spoil for you all, Jane finds herself not as a governess to a wealthy ward, but as a school teacher in a teeny, tiny village. She's barely scraping by, and she's living with some very well-intentioned sisters in the town. And later on, Jane receives a letter about a mysterious uncle who she has never known, and he has recently died, and he left her an inheritance. And this inheritance gave her a new hope for a new beginning. Jane, with this inheritance that she had had no idea that she had been entitled to, had the opportunity to be lifted from the bondage of this life that originally she had no prospects for. And now she could carve out a new life for herself, worthy of the inheritance that this uncle had so lovingly set aside for her, not knowing where she might be. And so, it's like with us. As children of God, we have this immense hope, except this time we know that it's there and we know that it's ours. We have a place in the kingdom. Only through Christ do we receive our salvation, and because Christ has come at the time of fulfillment, we're no longer in bondage to our sin, to other gods or idols that might have taken over our life, to nothing. If we respond to him. And if we're no longer slaves to sin, then we're children of God. And if we're children of God, then through God, we're heirs. And that is the relationship we have with God. And as fellow children, as brothers and sisters, that is the relationship that we have with one another as a family in a kingdom. And this is real and true. And there's hope to be found where hope can not be found anywhere else. And so I ask you, don't squander away your inheritance. Don't squander away the freedom that we have found in Christ, but respond to God. Respond to his ever-flowing grace and love and mercy by living your lives well in his name, especially as we go into this new year. Because there's so much to do with the inheritance that God has given us. Amen.